For a lot of new people, Stan, who they're not familiar with the Kecksburg story, give us a little primer on that.
Well, that happened back on December 9th, 1965, and as you said, I was 16 years old, but my interest actually started when I was 10. And just to give a little background how I got started, my birthday, coincidentally, is Halloween Eve, and on my 10th birthday, my parents gave me a new AM radio, and I was tuning around a radio dial that night because of the Halloween season. There was some radio discussion about strange, unusual happenings, flying saucers, hauntings, unusual events, and I was very curious, and I began to go to the local library and read all the information they had on the topic, and as years went by, I began to cut new stories out and make scrapbooks, and then I was 16 when the event happened about 12 miles from my hometown of Greensburg in a little village of Kecksburg, PA. That evening, the event, I was tuning into KDK Radio in Pittsburgh because they had a talk radio show called Contact, and the host was Mike Levine. And coincidentally, that night they had a guest on who was Frank Edwards, who you, I'm sure, was familiar with.
Absolutely.
Who was a reporter who had written some books on flying saucers.
Yep.
And almost the entire program was devoted to the fact that there had been a massive sighting over several states from the tip of Ontario of this fiery object which had come in over a widespread area. And as the object came in over the greater Pittsburgh area, the news media, law enforcement agencies were deluged with phone calls. Many people thought initially that an aircraft was on fire coming across the sky. And there was, of course, there was a lot of information I didn't know at that time. It took many, many years of investigation, which we're still investigating the case today, getting input still coming in on it. But what we found out was that this object proceeded in over the Pittsburgh area. It moved out into Westmoreland County, over Greensburg, and moved roughly out towards Route 30 East, but then it made a turn to the south. And people all along those small farming communities reported seeing this object moving across the sky, moving out towards the mountains at North Laurelville, where we are told that the object made another turn. It began to come back towards Kecksburg, made another turn, and went down into the woods. And those people who saw that object descend said it didn't come down at a high rate of speed, but it came down almost like a controlled landing. And then right after it fell, there was a column of kind of bluish-gray smoke that rose up out of the woods, but that dissipated very quickly. Now, over the years, we've learned a lot more about that case. What we now know is this, that within a relatively short time after it fell, some local people went down into the woods to investigate, and they came across a large, semi-buried, metallic object that some witnesses describe basically like a large metallic acorn shape, semi-buried in the ground. The object was estimated to be about 10 to 12 feet in length, about 8 to 10 feet in diameter. As one witness described it, he said it looked to him almost like if somebody took liquid metal and poured it into an acorn-shaped mold. That's how it looked. There were no rivets, no seams, no weld marks, no fuselage. But on the bottom end of what they would describe as the acorn was this raised-up area. One witness called it the bumper area, the ring area. And up on that was the raised-up markings that after he looked at these things and later went to libraries to try to figure out what this may have been, he said they were more like symbols. And he said the closest thing he could think of that it resembled was like ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. And we could talk for days and days about it. It's an amazing story. But what we now know is this. Within a relatively short time after the object fell, and this was about 4:47 in the afternoon, it's almost dark. Within a relatively short time, over the next few hours, the military began to come into the small farming community. The area was cordoned off. The military went in and made a search. There was a lot of people that began to descend on that small community because the radio and TV in the greater Pittsburgh area were broadcasting this. As the evening wore on, there was a lot of news stories unfolding. It was a major news story on the radio around Pittsburgh that evening, made front page of the papers the next day, locally and across the country, and the papers talked about the fact that there was a military presence. So that evening, not only were there many hundreds of people that came in from different parts of western Pennsylvania to try to get a look at the object that reportedly had fallen, but also you had many reporters on the scene from Pittsburgh radio, TV, newspapers, also themselves were able to observe the fact that there was a military presence there. And, of course, the next day, there's a lot of news stories. We didn't know at that time about the fact that there was indeed an object actually on the ground. It was supposition that there was. But the next day, the official explanation was that nothing had fallen. There was a search. Nothing had been found. That people had seen a bright meteor in the sky. And over many, many years of investigation, talking to hundreds of people who have direct or indirect knowledge of the case, the object apparently was taken out of that area about 1 o'clock in the morning. And from the information we have, it went to Lockbourne Air Force Base outside of Columbus, Ohio, during the early morning hours of December 10th. A gentleman had approached me before the Unsolved Mysteries show in 1990. And told me, and we were able to check his credentials out, that he had been a part of an Air Force security team who had guarded the object when it came into Lockbourne Air Force Base that morning. He said the security on the base was very, very high. In fact, it was even higher than when President Kennedy had visited the base previous to that. Wow. And they backed the object on a flatbed into this hangar, and they were basically given a shoot-to-kill order to anybody that didn't have the proper clearance to get anywhere near that hangar.
Shoot-to-kill, Stan?
And that's what I was told. Right. And anyhow, also he indicated that he was only there for a short time and later heard that the object went from that base over to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And other witnesses independently told us about how the object did come into Wright-Patterson and was transported to a warehouse building on the base. Now, where that object is today, of course, we have no idea.
This object, in terms of shape, sounds strangely familiar to what the late policeman Lonnie Zamora saw in Socorro, New Mexico, this egg-shaped craft.
Well, they discovered more of like an acorn-shaped object, and kind of described like of an unusual off-gold, almost like a gold-bronze color. Again, no rivets, no seams, no fuselage, with unusual symbol-type markings at the bottom of the object.